Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, issue number 44. This will be our final issue of season number 2. Tonight, I don't recall what we did at the end of season 1, but it was like a big shebang.
It was a retrospective and all that crazy stuff. But
we're not doing that tonight.
Yeah, this seems to be nicely corresponding to the Oscars this year.
So, it does.
I think that's a good thing to go out on, really.
I agree, because last year when we discussed the Oscars, our Geekly Happening segment went like an hour-ish, something like that.
Yeah, easily.
So we're going to do Geekly Happenings, then we're going to do I guess we're just going to discuss the Oscars. I didn't go so far as to come up with a title for our Oscar discussion.
Sure.
But we are going to talk about them. And then we're going to do a weird little thing where we're going to be reviewing the, I didn't even look up the year, I don't care, but the Shane Black directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, starring both Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. Based off of the strength that Shane Black is in final negotiations, last time I checked, to be directing Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I don't think he's officially been signed yet, but everywhere, a lot of places are reporting it as it's a done deal thing.
Well, I mean, it's, all but, they're just waiting for, notaries to go through and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. But before we do any of that, we're going to hit a little bit of Geekly Happenings, and then we'll just get right into this. Why don't you open up the Geekly Happenings with the news you want to talk about the most?
All right. Well, the first part of the news I've collected is, of course, about a movie that everyone is sitting on at the edges of their seat waiting for, and that's Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Okay.
Directed by Neville Dean and Taylor, starring, of course, Nicolas Cage. He let it slip about a scene in the movie that he is filming where he gets to not only play Johnny Blaze, but he's also playing Zarathos, the demon that the spirit that is possessing him. Apparently there's a exorcism scene in the movie and they get split at some point.
Okay.
He gets to play both parts.
I was going
to
say, didn't he do that in the first one?
Probably so, but they get actually split this time, so...
If he gets two paychecks?
Hey, I wouldn't put it... I wonder if he does one of them in a Jamaican accent.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. I wouldn't be too goddamn surprised if this movie was, like one of those, fun, and then forget about it.
Well, the
probably isn't
the first
be.
One was meh fun for me. This one is gonna be... I'm worried about just because it's Neville and Taylor, but
it'd be hyperkinetic, which I think could fit in a Ghost Rider movie.
It could. It sounds to me like they're really going for based on the Garth Ennis run on Ghost Rider, which I never read, but Ennis is hit and miss. So
I've never read a single Ghost Rider book ever. I mean, I've run into him in other stuff.
He's really always been sort of a B or even C lister Marvel character, and he's never. Of the stuff I've read, he's never been, A-list, awesome, great stuff. He's been in one of those, that's an interesting character.
Moving on,
But I'm going to go read the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go read a comic I want to read.
Okay.
They even tried updating him to 2099 for a bit, and that was terrible. So, we'll see what they do, This one isn't a direct sequel to Ghost Rider, the original movie.
It isn't.
No, they're not running it like that.
What is it?
It's
its own thing.
It's its own thing that could or could not be a sequel, I guess.
That's really strange.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see making the argument with that, from the Hulk to Incredible Hulk, something like that, because there's, different casts, so forth.
Yeah.
But it's going to be really hard to pull that off with the same people.
Yeah, that's going
to
be.
Is there anybody returning to that except for Cage?
Just Cage, as far as I know, because I know Eva Mendes said she wasn't coming back.
Sam Elliott?
Well, Sam Elliott was just in the first one. He
that's what I'm saying.
Dies, quote unquote.
Yeah, but it's a movie that deals with.
I guess they're not getting Peter Fonda back to be the devil.
Damn. Or what about fucking American Beauty Boy? What about
American Beauty? Wes Bentley. Oh, he's dead. Technically.
Did he die? Well, that never died. Yeah, it's character. A fucking comic book.
That's true, but we're also talking Sony here, so they're constantly screwing the pooch on various things.
Well, here's to hoping it's good, I guess.
We are recording this on, this just came to my mind real quick, we're recording this on March 2nd, and it's Daniel Craig's birthday.
Right on. How old is he?
I believe he's 44.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right. Neat.
Yeah.
Speaking of Daniel Craig, Rachel and I watched the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and whatever the hell the sequel is called last night, and he's going to be in the American remake.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. And that is what Fincher is working on next. You asked me that on Sunday.
Oh, very nice.
And I couldn't remember. Yeah, he's doing
He's 43, excuse me.
43.
It's also Bryce Dallas Howard's birthday today. Mm-hmm.
She's 43 as well.
And she's 30.
Is she that old?
She is that old.
Jesus Christ. I thought she was like, I didn't even think she was 25.
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, so I spotted that today, and, you know, hey, we since Daniel Craig was our favorite Bond, there you go.
Well, happy birthday, Daniel Craig, and happy birthday, Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy, yes.
Well, the original Gwen Stacy. Not the real Gwen Stacy.
Yes.
Okay, what else we got?
The other thing I got is, obviously, we've talked about Wrath of the Titans, the Clash of the Titans sequel that's being made. It's being directed by Jonathan Liebsman, is the director of Darkness Falls, you know, the classic horror movie that movie is. It starts filming...
Was that the Tooth Fairy movie?
Yes.
Thought that was Uwe Boll.
No.
That just sucks. I can see why I can make that.
It starts filming, according to a report, starts filming on March 6th. So it starts filming in less than a week.
4 days.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be Friday? No, it'd be Saturday.
Sunday. So probably more like Monday or something. Yeah. But it says it starts, the story hit on the 24th of February. It says start shooting in 10 days. It's scheduled to be released March 23rd, 2012. And I believe everybody is coming. Everyone is more or less returning for it. So, I think it's interesting. We saw a lot of, what's his name? The guy who played... he was in Avatar. He was in Clash of the Titans. Sam Worthington. Saw him like come out with two movies right at the beginning of the year, and he hasn't done anything for a while. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, he did that in Avatar, and hasn't done shit.
Jonathan Liebsman has upcoming Battle Los Angeles is coming out. With,
Aaron
Eckhart.
And, yeah, that might be fun. You
know, looks like it could be non sucky movie. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yep.
So I guess Jane Russell died, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that. Jane Russell was 89.
Mm-hmm. Star of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Mm-hmm. And The Pale Face with Bob Hope.
I like Bob Hope. He was fucking awesome. He was funny, too. That's another lifetime achievement you got to check out. Bob Hope winning.
Oh, okay.
That was a good one.
Other bit of news was Empire Magazine posted a picture or published a picture of, let's see... It is Sentinel Prime.
Yeah.
From the upcoming Transformers 3 Dark of the Moon, or Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Sure.
And they have he's big, nasty looking, and
they've
also got
Prime.
A picture of Optimus there, and Optimus has a big ass gun now, so.
Cool.
So, yeah, well, I guess we'll see. Speaking of pictures, we also got a new picture of. Jason Momoa as Conan.
Saw that.
He looks better.
Yeah.
Than the crappy picture we first saw. I mean, the new pictures are looking much better. I'm still...
He's not Arnold.
No.
That's just going to work against him.
I'm still worried about it being directed by Marcus Nispel, but, you know, whatever.
Of the Friday the 13th remake fame.
And of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake fame, so we'll see how crappy that
is.
And
now this is the Conan remake fame.
Yep.
Hmm.
For those of us into video games, they are developing a Devil May Cry movie.
I like those games. They're fun to play.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. It is now a series of 13 different games.
Really?
So it says 13 titles which have sold 10 million copies worldwide.
A piece?
Well, I don't know that.
Probably not.
It was intended as a spinoff of Resident Evil. But it is obviously went into entirely something else, but, Screen Gems is optioning the film rights to it. So, we'll see how they get to butcher that later. I'm wondering if, Uwe Boll's free.
He probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Wow. I just don't care. I mean, that's the thing about it, is a lot of people complaining about, all the video game movies suck. I mean, what do you expect? They're fucking video games.
Yeah. People like pulled apart Doom. I'm like, okay. Is it a good movie? No, it's a fun movie, yes. But what do you expect from a movie that's based on a first-person shooter video game?
Well, it's amazing that the first Mortal Kombat was as fun as it was.
Exactly. That's because it didn't take itself seriously.
Yeah, that's the problem with a lot of these things, is they take themselves way too seriously.
Yeah. Other thing I saw is Alan Silvestri is going to score Captain America, the First Avenger.
Saw that, too.
Kind of
close, isn't he?
They are. Movie hits on July 22nd, and it comes up with, this is the guy who did the Back to the Future movies and Predator.
I know who he is.
So Also, his most recent work was The A-Team. So we'll see where that goes out to. And did you see who they've signed to direct G.I. Joe, the sequel?
Yeah, G.I. Joe. I have. I don't remember his name. I told you about that.
Yes, I know. John Chu
of the Justin Bieber Bieberific movie.
Never Say Never.
Whatever.
Oh, it's okay. He also did Step Up to the Streets and Step Up 3D. He didn't do the original Step Up. I find that amusing.
That's a natural progression.
He was chosen over F. Gary Gray.
I know who that is. Who is that? At least director, know the name.
No. Yeah, so he is. They're also, because they want to get it out for 2012, they might have to recast roles, including the very busy Joseph Gordon-Levitt may not be able to come back as Cobra Commander, and Sienna Miller might not be able to return as the Baroness. So,
you know, I was at best, you know, didn't care about that movie. So, I don't really, Alan Silvestri has 2 Oscars. I thought he did. He also,
I think he won one for Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Forrest Gump is his big thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Do we have any other news?
X-Men First Class?
Oh, yeah. So we got another image of X-Men First Class. They call it the Hellfire Club photo. I don't really think that's fair. It just shows the White Queen, and it actually shows Sebastian Shaw. And believe it or not, it doesn't suck.
Doesn't look like crap, yeah. It's not a gratuitous cleavage shot.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with those and all
Lots of mirrors in it, but...
Yeah, very shiny. You can actually see the photographer over in the bottom right-hand corner, I noticed.
Oh, yes?
But,
that's funny.
When I heard about Sebastian Shaw, Kevin Bacon playing Sebastian Shaw, I was kind of like, I don't know about that.
Okay?
Then I see it, I could see that working. I mean, he looks like he's being very physical with the role. I mean, look at his posture. Look at the way he's standing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, that I don't know. It doesn't look bad, but...
Kevin Banks is a good actor.
Yeah,
you know, he's not an awful guy. I still have reservations about this movie.
Me too.
When is it coming out now? July?
Probably.
Beginning of July. I think it's the July 4th big movie or something like that.
I don't know why that's not Captain America.
I don't know either.
Maybe because of Alan Silvestri. He couldn't get it done on time.
And I guess Gary Winnick died.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who is Gary Winnick?
He is director of 13 Going on 30, as well as various things like Letters to Julia. Oh, you mean movies that count, right?
Yep.
Okay. It would be Charlotte's Web. So...
Well, the remake, right? Not the original?
The remake, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
He didn't do, he didn't make his mark, so I guess it's too bad to hear. So, sucks. Yeah. Sorry about that, Gary Winnick.
And that's all I got.
Well, me too. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our discussion of the 83rd Annual Academy Awards. Secrets of him. And we are back. This time around, no special segment, nothing that we usually do. We're just going to have a little discussion about the 83rd Annual Academy Awards. Happened this Sunday.
Little event. Not a lot of people know about it.
Sure. Well, we're going to start with this. Yeah, I mean, they were this Sunday, the 25th mm-hmm. of March.
Yep.
And I don't even know where to begin even thinking about talking 27th about
27th of March.
I don't know shit, apparently. They were on Sunday, the 27th yes. of March, 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Covering the Oscars from 2010. So pretty much January 1st through December 31st of 2010 are all the films that are in contention. So there we go. We got that. Hosted by James Franco and Anne Hathaway. I don't really know where to start about this. I have things I want to say about it, but I just don't know how to get right into it.
Well, maybe we should talk a bit about the winners.
Okay. The winners, there were no surprises.
Yeah, it was all, I think the Oscars this time around were all, there weren't any big upsets for me. You know, I mean, I didn't notice anything going, oh, whoa. There was no Shakespeare in Love type of thing going on this year. And
that
kind of thing
is rare. It's actually really rare that happens, and some people tend to forget that.
But it was all very, really, it was all very predictable.
It was, and at the same time, it's a different kind of predictable than a lot of people are used to.
Yeah.
Because for years and years and years, the Golden Globes and the Academy Awards went, you know, pretty much hand in hand, and that did not 100% happen this time around. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the acting, yeah, all the acting accolades went the same way, but picture and director went a different way.
Yeah.
Golden Globes, it was Fincher for director, and Social Network was the best picture. Well, like the best dramatic picture. This time around, it was Tom Hooper who directed The King's Speech. He got best director, and The King's Speech also won best picture.
Yeah, and I'm not upset about that at all, because that was a great film.
Yeah, I'm on record. I thought it was the better movie. I did really much enjoy The Social Network. People complain about the Oscars. It doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter if everything goes the way it should, then people are saying it was boring because, you know, it was predictable. If there's a dark horse, then people complain about that because, you know, something else should have won. And when it comes down to it, you know, I think everybody won who should have won. On our Oscar poll, I intentionally, I didn't screw myself because I still ended up winning, but I intentionally took a point for the team, so to speak, when it came to Best Director. Mm-hmm. Because I honestly do think that Tom Hooper probably did direct the better movie. I still voted for Fincher because I felt that I felt his body of work at this point, you know, justified, you know, some sort of accolade from his, from his peers.
The Academy's been known to split that vote, too. You know, give this to a director and give this to that's what they did with Spielberg and Saving Private Ryan, is he got director and then Shakespeare in Love got picture.
Right, and it also just happened a few years ago with Ang Lee winning director for Brokeback Mountain and Crash taking picture. I actually prefer it when it goes like that because, you know, I know it isn't the exact same thing, but it's almost saying that when the director and the pitcher match up, it's almost like saying they're the same category in some way. And I don't agree with that because there are movies that are very well directed that aren't necessarily better than
this
others.
This time around, you know, Hooper did a fantastic job directing.
He did.
In the King's Speech. You know, Fincher, I think ultimately Fincher would have gotten it not really for a Social Network, but for all of his previous work.
Sure.
You know, sort of a lump sum type of thing, which,
The politics of the situation, and it goes down like that pretty often. So, I mean, I am pleased because I enjoyed The Social Network a lot. I like what Tom Hooper did with that. The only other thing I've seen that he did was that, the HBO, the John Adams?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the only other thing I've seen that he'd done, and I enjoyed that as well. So, I mean, it's cool. I mean, he directed it well. Personally, I would have been pleased to see Fincher win. I'm not upset that he did not.
No.
And my personal favorite of the movies was The King's Speech, and, you know, it very much deserved picture. Moving on down to director, actor, it was Colin Firth for The King's Speech.
Which was pretty much a given.
It was a given. He won every single award in the circuit.
Yeah.
So,
He's amazing
rightfully
in the movie,
so.
And yeah, I mean, it was pretty much a shoe-in for that that award. I don't think any of the other actors who were nominated really had any, you know, any illusions about getting that award over him because he's amazing.
Yeah,
James Franco is a great actor, but I mean, he's also young and he's got a long career ahead of him, and I think that a lot of times plays against a lot of people who get nominated. You know, like Hayley Steinfeld for supporting actress. Mm-hmm. She's amazing, but she's also 14.
Well, you know? I mean, same thing happened with, like, you know, Heath Ledger in Brokeback Mountain.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't win that, and, you know, a lot of it might have to do with his age, so. You know, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Inception walked off with the most Oscars.
It tied with King's Speech. They both went home with four.
Both went home with four.
They both went home with four.
I must have missed one in my counting that night, which is fine. But,
yeah.
I think that says a lot for Inception.
It does. You know? I mean, it was its own little. Its own little award.
Did it win everything it was nominated for?
No. It was also up for picture, and it was up for screenplay.
That's right.
It wasn't. It didn't get either of those.
Yeah, and it
won all the technical awards.
Yeah, and I really felt that's what it was going to do. Me too. All the technical stuff, you know, visual effects, sound mixing, sound editing, all that.
And, you know, when these people are winning their awards, there wasn't a single person that wasn't, you know, gushing over Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
You know, they're just saying, you know, he's the reason that I'm here.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, nobody came right out and said, you know, you motherfuckers, you didn't nominate him. But, mm-hmm. you know, to me, I almost felt it in the words. But, you know, at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of that unspoken thing of what the fuck, people. Come on.
Yeah.
Just judging by all of his movies are so well directed.
They really are.
Say what you will about if you don't like Batman Begins, don't like Dark Knight. You know, ignoring all that. You know, Memento, and I really say Prestige is an amazingly directed movie.
Yeah.
And the Inception is too. If that movie had crappy director, would have fallen apart.
Exactly. You know,
it would have entirely been cheesy and bad.
Mm-hmm.
But he held a good grip on that movie and. Sadly, the Academy decided not to really look at that. So
yeah, see, King's Speech ended up winning picture, director, actor, and screenplay,
mm-hmm.
and Inception ended up winning editing, which is its biggest award, and then it won both the sounds and mm-hmm. it won both the sounds and visual effects. So it ended up going that way. So yeah. We've got that. Moving on down to actress in the leading role, it went to Natalie Portman.
Mm-hmm. The only award Black Swan won for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I've seen the movie, and she's amazing in it. She's really good.
Have not seen it. I will see it, but, you know, I don't have a problem with her. With her having an Oscar, I don't. I've spoken ill of her before, but at the same time, when she's on, she's way on.
Oh yeah. And there are some Oscars out there that are pretty much throwaways. You know, we've said it before with Cuba Gooding Jr., Angelina Jolie, all that stuff that are just like, why does this person have an Oscar?
Right.
But you know, I think the first time that I remember seeing Natalie Portman was in The Professional, and she was impressive there. You know?
Sure.
And so, I mean, I think it's just a logical.
Sure.
Logical moving on of logical progression that she gets an Oscar at this point because, well, she's damn good at what she does.
She is. And just sometimes she's just not in the right role. And you can say that for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you're some weirdo like, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis that acts, you know, once every couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, then, you know, sometimes they just do stuff to get a paycheck. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to, you know, shake their, you know, fingers at them for that. You know, they need to eat. At the same time, they need to pad their career. They need to get those movies under their belts to, you know, to show the bigger productions that, you know, this person made, you know, X amount of dollars, so they're not going to be that big of a...
I think with this Oscar win, I wouldn't be surprised if she gets recast in, if they do subsequent Thor movies.
Because,
I mean, obviously, an Oscar win pushes up that paycheck, and Marvel's notorious for not wanting to pay for that.
Well, I mean, look at Edward Norton.
Yeah, and I know Marvel actually did talk to Tom Hooper, to see if he would want to direct. I think it was Iron Man 3.
Yeah,
and he said no.
Right,
but this was before he won, obviously.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of interesting things. I thought. I think it's interesting to see.
I think it would be a cool move on her part if she didn't move to get recast.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, especially if it goes, you know, if the movie comes and she's just awful in it,
then,
you know, she wins a Razzie next year, which I wouldn't be surprised because that kind of happens.
The Razzies are a joke now. Anyway,
they're a joke now. Yeah. They used to be cool.
They used to be cool, but now they're just stupid.
Yeah.
And there's no point in having them anymore.
I agree.
Start up our own right there.
Yeah.
Let's see, Toy Story 3. Walked off with Best Animated Film and Original Song.
Original Song. It was Randy Newman.
Yeah, Randy Newman. Yep. Getting his second Oscar for after
Monsters Inc. 20th nomination.
Yes,
20th nomination, second win. So, I mean, he's won 10% of the time. So,
and we discovered that Rick Baker has the same amount of Oscars
as Dennis Muren at this point.
Has 8 Oscars now.
Which is funny because, you know, I mean, I'm not really trying to pat ourselves on the head, but it shows, it shows our knowledge of the Oscars. Because as soon as he won, I'm like, God damn, how many does he have? I mean, then I said, he's got to be getting near Muren, who I happen to know happens to have the most amount of Oscars right now of a living person. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up, and he's now tied.
I think the most that anyone has period is Walt Disney, isn't it?
He had 26 Oscars.
Yeah, I knew he'd...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's ever going to be touched ever again.
No, not probably.
Not probably, no. But yeah, that's really cool. And what's funny is I have not seen that coming. I haven't seen a news story on that or anything. Mm-mm. And you know, that's, you know, I mean, people love talking about, you know, the history of the Oscars, and you know, that's a historic thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person that has the most living is now tied.
Neither of us really expected Rick Baker to walk away with it either. Because as you said, the best makeup Oscar was invented for him, pretty much.
It was. I mean, what happened was, and I don't remember the year off the top of my head, it was either 80 or 81. Mm-hmm. It was when The Elephant Man came out.
Right.
The fantastic, who was that? That fucking David Lynch movie.
Yeah.
And it's starring William Hurt as the Elephant Man, John Merrick. And a lot of people just thought that, you know, that he was incredible in it. But he had on, you know, obviously, you know, huge, you know, makeup apparatus. And he looked like the Elephant Man. And he had to act through all that. And he ended up being nominated for Best Actor, which wasn't really appropriate, you know, because a lot of it had to do with the makeup. And then it was the very next year that they created the makeup award. So, I mean, it was created for him. Yeah. And in retrospect, I was looking at, had to have been Roger Ebert. I was looking at him talking about the different awards, and he said that, on his thing that he did when he was talking about him, he said, yeah, it'll probably go to the Wolfman because it's always the most made up of all of the roles. The person with the most makeup wins best makeup. And I looked it up, and it's true.
Well,
it is true.
It is, what is it, that one? I think it's when Schindler's List won.
Yeah.
I think for best makeup that one was, year over
that,
something else.
That was the only that upset
was,
ever.
Yeah, that was a big upset because it was nominated. I mean, the same year other things had come out that were, that had a lot heavier
makeup. I just don't remember.
Yeah, I think that year though, everyone was so in love with Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when Schindler's List came out, so. But yeah, and I've said it before, Wolfman's not a bad movie. The makeup is amazing. It's great.
I don't have a problem with it. I just haven't seen it.
Well, I think part of it also with that category was it was really the only movie people would recognize that was nominated.
Barney's version got some good reviews.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, though, is...
I know what you're
people
saying.
People looking at that list, just the layman's going to go, well, I know what the Wolfman is.
Check.
Barney's version in this way, The Way Back.
Mm.
Hey, werewolves are hard to do. We'll do that.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not the layman voting. I mean, it's other makeup people.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, that might be why that happens like that, because the makeup person's like, so fucking what? They put a little bit of shadow around his eyes, and you made him look tired. Ooh, they turned that guy into a fucking werewolf. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, take my vote. And that's kind of cool, the way that goes around like that. But yeah.
But like I said, I mean, there's no big surprises this year.
No.
Social Network won for editing.
Yeah. Social Network won for editing, excuse me. Inception won for cinematography. Because I remember it won one of those big awards that, I mean, there's always like the big five, you know, which is picture, director, actor, actress, screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And but if there is a big six, the sixth is cinematography,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, it's actually like the physical presentation, the shooting of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
sort of going into that presentation and whatnot, best presentation of the night, Kirk Douglas.
Yep, absolutely.
that guy might have, he had a stroke several years ago, yes, and he might have trouble speaking, but that man is firing with every cylinder on that brain of his.
Yeah, he really is.
And I mean, talk about a Hollywood legend, you know, he's Kirk Douglas.
I actually saw a backhanded compliment about that. And they didn't go so far as calling him strokey or anything, but, you know, it was weird what they did with it, because they're talking about, and like, you know, yeah, he did really good, you know, like a pat on the head, like a patronizing pat on the head, and then they turned it into an attack on Christoph Waltz. who wasn't there for whatever reason.
Okay.
Saying, you know, now he's got an Oscar, so he thinks he's too good for the Academy Awards. I just
or he's working.
Yeah, and that's more than likely. Well, he is working because he's working on the Musketeer movie.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, so, you know, it happens sometimes. But yeah, I have to say that is the best presentation I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, definitely.
Totally easily, yeah.
Definitely the best presentation I've ever seen in so much as what I've physically seen. I actually, you know, seen live. And, you know, it's up there with the best I've ever seen, period.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so, what was cool about it is he comes out and, he's fucking Kirk Douglas and he's badass.
Yeah.
And
he's Spartacus. He's the original Spartacus.
He was the original Spartacus and, you know, he did have a stroke a few years ago, and he's shown up at the Oscars a few times since then.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember when him and Michael were giving out an award, and Michael Douglas said something, and Kirk Douglas was like, hey, dude, speak up, they don't understand you, or something like that. It was pretty funny. But he comes out, and, you know, he's just up there taking his fucking time, and he gets down to the, and the winner goes, and he starts opening up. He's like, man, this is hard to open up. He looks down and he's like, okay. And then he just goes, I would just need to watch it again. But basically what he was doing is he was putting off giving out the award.
Yes.
And everybody in the audience was just fucking cracking up.
Yes. And he did it twice. It was hysterical. You're Australian. You're laughing all the time.
Yeah.
Look at Colin Firth. He's not laughing. He's an Englishman.
Englishmen never laugh. Yeah. It was good stuff. It was good stuff.
And then it was like, you're still laughing.
Yeah.
And now Colin Firth is laughing.
Yeah. And then that award wound up going to Melissa Leo from mm-hmm. Fighter.
Melissa Leo.
In the other, you know, quote-unquote historic moment of the night, where I don't even remember it, but she dropped an F-bomb talking about how far away the people were. They're up in the balcony. She's like, man, they're way the fuck up there, something like that.
It's fucking big.
I've seen criticism for that, too.
Yeah, people going, oh, that seems so staged and whatnot. It's like, oh, please, whatever, people.
Who cares if it was? The whole Oscars are staged.
Who gives a rat's, a rat's behind, a rat's ass?
We'll fix that in post.
Yeah, we will fix that in post.
We don't want to offend.
No, we don't want to offend, no. I don't think there was any particular acceptance speech that I felt was bad, per se.
There's a lot of them that were...
It was all like, I want to thank the Academy and I want to thank my mama and Elvis, sort of thing. But I think Melissa Leo's is probably the best one of the night.
Probably.
It was the most energetic of the night. There's always at least one.
I thought Christian Bale's was what was very, and Christian Bale did win for The Fighter.
Yeah.
And I think his was amongst the most gracious of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, he's the dude that got in trouble for beating up his mom and cussing out a light guy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was up there being very gracious. And it was funny. Somebody was asking him his reaction to Melissa Leo dropping the F-bomb. And he just kind of laughs. He's like, well, I shouldn't say anything because, I've been known to do that before, too. which is kind of funny. I mean, granted, he shouldn't be an asshole, but, it was nice that he kind of owned the moment like that. So that was cool. He won. He deservedly won.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've told Ethan that, it's just not his kind of movie. And if he wants to watch it, go ahead and watch it. And just stop watching it as soon as Christian Bale gets out of jail.
It sounds like it's good performances at the very least. I mean, and I'll say that about
Black Swan,
$1 Baby, Black Swan. It's just not movies that were made for me. Performances were good. I mean, I will recognize good performance when I see it. And
sure.
Natalie Portman was a damn good performance. In Million Dollar Baby, same thing. Performances were great. It was just the subject matter was not for me.
So. See, I enjoyed the subject matter in Million Dollar Baby, but that's neither here nor there.
No.
So we got those awards. Screenplays went as expected.
Mm-hmm. King's Speech and Social Network.
Yeah. Adapted, mm-hmm. which is kind of weird because...
Yeah.
It's weird because King's Speech, I know, is a book. I'm mm-hmm. positive it was a book, and it was up for original screenplay. And I know that...
Well, it might have. Maybe it was a screenplay before it was a book.
I don't know, but it's just so weird about it.
That would be the only way I could see that working. So.
I don't know. I mean,
and so honestly, we just don't know.
Yeah, and same thing with Social Network, is it was an original screenplay, but it was sort of kind of technically adapted because I guess he wrote a lot of it off of tweets
mm-hmm.
or not tweets, Facebook postings, mm-hmm. status updates, stuff like that.
So that was pretty. That was pretty. Expected at that point.
Sure.
You know, there's the art, like art direction and stuff like that. I mean, most of that stuff went to art direction,
and, costume design.
Went to Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, which was kind of weird because the first was it costume design or art design they gave out first?
I think art direction they gave out
first.
Yeah,
art direction first Oscar out the gate. You know, they gave it to Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. So my response was Alice in Wonderland is now an Academy Award winning movie.
Yes,
which is just kind of like a weird way to start off the night.
True Grit got completely shut out.
Yep.
Too.
It was
didn't win a dang thing.
I would have to look, but it's got to be up there with the biggest shutouts in Oscar history. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it before. There's something that got a total shutout with a lot of nominations like that before.
Was it Shawshank?
Shawshank, I don't know if it was...
I think we looked it up, and Shawshank, I don't think Shawshank won anything.
No, Shawshank was a total shutout. What I'm saying is I don't know if it had, you know, upwards of 10 nominations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for all I know, it had 2 or 3.
Yeah.
No, I know it didn't win anything.
Yeah, and I think True Grit was the one with the most nominations, wasn't it?
I think it was tied. I think it was tied with The King's Speech.
But it had a ton, and yeah, complete shutout. And I can't say I'm upset about it. True Grit's a great movie, but... You know, I mean, there were a lot of good movies to come out this year. So.
There were. And the thing about True Grit is the areas that I really particularly cared about. You know, I thought that Jeff Bridges was very good. I thought that Hailee Steinfeld was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought that Colin Firth was better, and I thought that Melissa Leo was better.
Yeah.
So, like, the only areas where, you know, I really had any invested claim in them, I didn't care because I, you know, fully admit that there were better performances. And it's so hard to judge a performance anyway, but at the same time, you know, I just really enjoyed both Melissa Leo and Colin Firth in both of their roles, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. The thing I really liked about it was, well, honestly, I didn't think James Franco and
Anne Hathaway.
Why can't I remember her name?
Beats me.
Anne Hathaway.
Awesome.
Yeah, she is great.
Earlier, you couldn't remember Franco's name.
I couldn't. No, I want to call him Francis or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought they did just a fine job hosting it. It wasn't anything memorable. I think what people really wanted was, you know, like Bob Hope.
Billy Crystal. Bob Hope's fucking dead. Well, Billy Crystal. I don't know. I know a lot of people. I didn't hear it, but Billy Crystal. I don't know if he. He gave out an award or something. I don't know. He was there on stage for some reason.
Yeah.
And some people heard that they, said that they heard in the crowd people saying, stay up there, save us or something. And I didn't hear it, but it'd be kind of funny if they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that is something, you know, it's all over the news and all over the fucking interwebs that everyone is just bitching and moaning about this year's Oscars. I mean, they said that I heard lots of complaints. Mm-hmm. I heard that the show was stupid and boring. I heard that, I heard James Franco more than Anne Hathaway that, you know, he was just way bad. You know, he was awful. I heard that. I've heard people complaining about, being offended about the bleeped F-bomb being, you know, put out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people complaining about, you know, there was no dark horses or anything like that. And I got nothing to say to those kind of complaints.
Yeah. I don't watch the Oscars for that, so I don't really care.
I do not watch the Oscars for the show. I know it's weird. I literally watch it for the awards.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking back and, you know, especially over the ones that I've seen, I don't particularly remember a whole lot of moments in the show. I always remember the awards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, looking back on this one in 10 years, I'll remember Kirk Douglas. Mm-hmm. And he was that good. And I'll remember the, you know, King's Speech one and stuff like that. But
yeah, and I can honestly say, usually when I watch the Oscars, I'm watching it with an eye of, well, what movies did I miss last year that I need to watch?
Yeah.
The nice thing about this year is I got off my butt and I actually got out to see some of these movies mm-hmm. after they were nominated, and I managed to see 5 movies that were nominated for Best Picture.
And you know, 3 years ago, you would have seen all the nominees because there was only 5 nominations.
Yeah, now there's 10. And
I will say that I saw every one I wanted to. I saw every movie that I wanted to see. And there are a couple of movies like 127 Hours or The Black Swan. I'll check out on like DVD or Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And 127 Hours came out yesterday on DVD. And mm-hmm. that's something
that... King's Speech comes out in April 25th, I think.
I thought it was like the 14th. But yeah, something
comes out in April.
I looked it up and it looks like it's coming out.
It might be Black Swan comes out on the 25th. I don't remember.
Something like that.
But they all come out pretty quickly. They're all coming out pretty quickly.
Well, I mean, this...
And this
is a DVD market, so
I want King's Speech. I'll that one up.
I'll buy King's Speech. I'll buy King's Speech. Obviously, I'm going to rent 127 Hours and mm-hmm. Black Swan before I, you know, say anything about buying them. I really doubt I would buy either of them.
Right.
I just do not see them. You know, like, I liked The Fighter quite a bit. I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
I might rent it. Probably yeah. not. Yeah. I won't buy it.
And I think I need to sit down and watch Inception again. I still don't know if I really need to own that movie or not. But
it's fun to own because... It's fun to own because there's some pretty good special features, and, yeah. it's a beautiful looking DVD.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it is.
And I bought it because I loved the movie, and I know you did too. But
it's a winner of four Academy Awards. You know,
yeah, the winner of four Academy Awards and a shutout. Mm-hmm. You know, but that just that speaks towards I thought it speaks towards the movie. You know, because it's tied with the most honored movie of the year, and that's cool. That's cool with me because obviously I liked The King's Speech and I liked Inception a lot, and. You can't call King's Speech or Inception a better movie. And, so to me, it's fitting in my mind that they're tied. Because as much as, I love King's Speech, it's honestly a better technical achievement. Inception, it's a better technical achievement. And then when you look at The King's Speech, it's obviously a better, dramatic performance. And that's that is the way that the Oscars fell. And I'm pleased with that. I'm very pleased with that.
Yeah, I mean, there was no... deep-seated desire to throw something at the TV this year, and I mean, I didn't feel that anything got really gypped. I like True Grit and all, but I
thought that True Grit's, and this sounds so cliche, but I really think that True Grit won by being nominated with all those things. Shutout at the Golden Globes.
It came out so late, but I think what it was too little too late type of thing, where I think a lot of Academy members had really made up a lot of their minds at that point, and then it came out kind of, well, okay, let's see if this is going to shut out any of the ones I'd already think. No, it doesn't. Okay, I'm just going to keep what I was going to vote.
The thing about the Coen Brothers movies is those are those movies that really grow over time. I mean, they take multiple viewings. Mm-hmm. And, they're those movies that you really think about. And, for me especially, I think about some of these movies that they've made, and it makes me appreciate them more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that No Country for Old Men was hands down a better achievement than frickin' True Grit.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed True Grit, but I loved No Country for Old Men. And that was one of those movies I watched the first time, and I liked it. I recognized how good Javier Bardem was in it, but it took me watching it more and think about it more. And, now I just consider it a fantastic movie. And, like, when it first, I thought it was good. And I don't know. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
All right. What else happened that deserves discussion?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we've already talked actors, actresses, director, picture.
Screenplays.
Really, how do you feel about 10 nominees for Best Picture now? I mean, they've done it the last 2 years now.
All right. Man, this turns into a discussion. All right, how do I feel about it? I understand why they do it. They do it because, it's with the cliched train of thought that
it's a pleasure to be nominated.
That it's a win to be nominated.
Right.
And stuff like Winter's Bone, stuff like, the kids are all right.
127 Hours.
Probably would not be nominated if there was 5 nominations.
Right.
And it's the reason, and the whole reason that the Oscars is a company, and it's there to make money, and it's there to make the film business money. And by saying Winter's Bone is in contention with a movie like probably the movie everybody saw most is like Toy Story 3 or Inception.
It would be Toy Story 3.
Yeah, well, that made the most money.
Yeah, it made the most money.
And saying that to some people would be all like, well, if it's that, if it's as good as Toy Story 3, I should go see it.
Well, I think what they do with having 10 nominations is they try to avoid that, here are 5 nominations, and everyone looks at it and go, huh? I haven't seen any of those. I mean, there's the year that English Patient won,
Yep.
4 of the 5 movies were independent films.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And the one studio film was even a kind of an obscure studio film anyway, so...
That was Jerry Maguire, right? It seemed like it was Jerry Maguire, Fargo.
That sounds about right.
Jerry Maguire, Fargo, English Patient, Shine, and something else. Yeah. And I don't remember off the top of my
head. I remember that year, and it was like, wow, I had.
And that's one of you talk to like film snobs, like the people that are bigger film snobs than us, and that's their favorite year ever at the Oscars.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. I just, I care about the quality of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The idea with the 10 nominations, I get it. I wonder, I can't really say that it harms the Oscars, but I don't see it helping that much either.
Because they didn't expand any of the other categories. Visual effects got 5 instead of 3 nominations.
Mm-hmm. And then animated got cut down to 3.
Yeah, but that happened No, it didn't happen last year.
It happened this year.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. But I swear it's been three before.
It might have been three before, but it's officially three now.
Yeah. The thing about the best picture for me for going up to 10 nominations in the last 2 years is I think you could look at it as oh, you know, it's an honor to be nominated type thing, or it's a, we're going to throw a bone to these five movies that we really wouldn't consider anyway.
Yeah.
That's how I really saw it last year.
Is that a slap in the face or what? I mean,
yeah, yeah, because, you know, last year we had, literally, you had 10 movies, five of which won Oscars in some form, and five which won nothing.
Right.
And you could really
easily... That happened this year, too.
No, there were six this year, I believe, that won.
Oh, were there?
Yeah, at least one movie. King's Speech, Black Swan, Fighter, Inception,
Toy Story 3,
Social Network.
Social Network won three Oscars. So, yeah, okay, well, it's almost there.
Yeah. it's almost there. But you could still sort of look at the list and go, well, I could see what five that were there. This is what would have been nominated if there were the five nominees. And these are, we have room for five more. This was good, this was good, this was good, and this was good.
When you saw the list of... the list of Best Picture nominations, when they came out that Monday morning, was there any doubt in your head that either Social Network or The King's Speech was going to win?
No, not really.
Did you think, oh shit, Winner's Bone might win?
No, I mean, I hadn't even heard of Winner's Bone.
I had seen it because I was a guy I knew was just talking about how awesome it was. Mm-hmm. It was actually voted, at the end of the year, it was voted on the top movie of 2010 by IMDb. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I checked it out off of the strength of that, and it was a good movie, do not get me wrong, but it just was not the same caliber as some of these other movies.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we're not going to know what's going to be on the plate for next year. I mean, it's way too early in the film
year. For all we know, all 10 of the movies are going to be up for Best Picture already out.
Yeah.
Probably not,
yeah.
I mean, you know, Oscar season is
November. We could all cross our fingers for the Green Hornet, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Probably not. Or Unknown.
Yeah, something like that, yes. Yeah. Or Paul, even, you know.
That isn't out yet, is it?
No, it's March 18th, it's getting there. Something like that. But... I'm interested to see how this year sort of racks up, because the last year or two, I mean, we said it during the summer last year.
Oh, my God.
We got a lot of crap last year.
We got a ton of crap. And, you know, a lot of summers you do get a lot of crap, but you get a couple of gems.
Yeah, I mean, what if these movies came out during the summer, you know?
Alice in Wonderland came out. Didn't Alice in Wonderland come out like last winter?
Well, I'm talking Best Picture nominees.
Oh, not Toy Story 3. Well,
Inception technically came out in August.
Toy Story 3, when did that come out?
Toy Story 3 was a summer release.
I thought so.
But Winter's Bone, I think, must have been early in the year.
Social Network was a summer release.
Was it a summer release?
I mean, it might have been a late summer release, but it was a summer release. It was not a November, December. It was not an Oscar.
It would have to have been. I was still working at the paper during that time when it came out, so it had to have been at the very end, like very, very, very beginning of the summer, the very, 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 very end of the summer. So, I mean, we didn't get a lot. A good stuff in the middle. It was either at the beginning or the end, mostly. And so, really, you know, we'll see what happens this year, the next Oscars. But I've been watching the Oscars since, what now, 93, 92, 93? Gosh, I don't remember now. And I intend to continue watching them this year or next year, year after that, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I don't see me stopping anytime soon. I've definitely watched the Oscars without a doubt every year since 97, 98. I did not watch the year. I intentionally did not yet watch the year the Titanic won. I've watched every year since then, except for last year, which I missed.
The first year
I watched it like a little bit later.
When did Schindler's List come out? Was that 90?
That was 93.
93.
It came out in 93, so it was up in 94.
Okay, so yeah, then I think that was the first year I won. Or was when did? Because was Pulp Fiction after that?
Or that same year?
Okay, so same I year. Think, and that was also the year. Was that the year of Fugitive?
And Quiz Show and Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
That was the rough year.
That was all around.
Remember that?
That's about the time I started watching. So.
And it's funny, the other, like, Oscar night after I got home, I started watching a bunch of Oscar acceptance speeches and shit on YouTube. And there were some of them I had seen before this time I'm talking about. Like, I very well remember when Jack Palance won for
City Slickers.
When he's doing the one arm push ups and shit on stage. And, you know, I remember seeing this stuff, but, you know, watching it with the, you know, with the interest that I have been, it's definitely been since the year after Titanic. I've definitely seen from pretty much the year that, Shakespeare, when I broke the TV, Shakespeare in Love won Best Picture till now. I've seen, and last year I missed watching him live, but I got because that
of drama, right?
Because of drama. I got home and then I watched it streaming online, you know, like right afterwards. And then I watched the DVD later. So I have seen them all, and I've probably seen acceptance speeches from all of them because they're all online, you know, streaming on YouTube or something like that. So I love them. You know, a lot of people like to attack them as, a meat parade, you know, fashion show, shit like that.
A lot of people attack the Oscars as it's Hollywood patting itself on the back. You know, it's that, but but every industry does it.
Mm-hmm.
And this just is the time of year that Hollywood does it.
And Hollywood is a very visible industry as well. I'm sure there's bowling alleys out there that give out, you know, shoe sprayer, but we just don't see it on ABC once a year.
Yes.
Yeah. That's just the way it goes. And I don't care about that. You know, I like watching movies, you know, Hollywood is something that, you know, is out there that's very visible that we all see. And so I want to see them, you know, awarding themselves and, if somebody doesn't like them, fantastic. That's your right. Just don't watch them and leave me alone for watching them, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, what the Oscars pretty much mean to me is it's just a time when you get to see some great performances. You get to see sort of a litmus test on what is coming out this next year, what came out the year before, and you get to see some
great moments.
Yeah, some great moments. You get to see things like Kirk Douglas just being great. And sometimes you get to see
Angelina Jolie threatening to do her brother in the parking lot after the show. I mean, there's just weird stuff.
Or
like
you see Oprah Uma things.
That was funny. Oprah.
Yeah.
That was Letterman.
That was Letterman.
Yeah, I thought so.
And sometimes it's a lot of fun, and sometimes it's not as much fun. But I enjoyed it just fine this year.
See, lots of people calling it worst Oscars ever. I disagree.
Oh yeah.
The most boring Oscars I've ever seen in my life was, and we think it was 2000. It was when American Beauty won. Yeah, God, it was a long show,
and it went on forever.
That was the year that we.
I think it went till at least midnight or one. I mean, it took forever.
Yeah, and there was no upsets. It was just a boring year all around. And
yeah,
so I mean, that's what I'm saying. I personally always kind of get bored by the Oscars. You know, I just care about the awards. And when it comes down to it, I could probably watch them, or rather, look at the awards what won the next day and be fine with it. But screw that. I want to watch it live.
And I've said it. The Oscars are my Super Bowl. So I mean, I look forward to it every year, and it's just a lot of fun. It's an excuse to get friends together and geek out about movies
and win an Oscar poll.
Exactly. Or try to win an Oscar poll. I won there for several years when
I wasn't there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll do it. I got to step up my game next year, you know?
Yeah, you're just going to have... You know, and like, I told Rachel I probably screwed myself by us having this discussion before it, because I explained to you my theory on the screenplays.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those areas that I always got ahead of you in the past. But, I gave you my secret to success in that area, so... You know, it was just dumbass luck on my part in this time. And I didn't do as well as I have in the past, and I haven't done as poor as I've done in the past.
It reminds me of when we several years ago when we were doing this, it was always you and me at the top of the list.
It always will be.
Yeah, because everyone else would not vote smartly.
Well, I mean, everyone, votes with their heart, which is sweet. But it's just not the right way of doing
it. That's obviously not what you should
you're
be
not
doing.
Gonna, you're not going to get anywhere doing that. I mean, it's nice. You know, yeah, I like Toy Story 3, but I did not think it was going to win Best Fucking Picture. So, you know, that's how I vote. It is funny, because I've been in several Oscar pools, and it always does come down to just a few people.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is just like... Mm-hmm.
But this year, it felt like it was spread around quite a bit, so...
And that's something else. I hate it when there's a fucking sweep at the Oscars.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that shit. I hate it when something wins 13 Oscars, you know?
Well, and that hasn't happened in a while.
Well, it hasn't... Ooh, since 2003...
Well, one in 2003 for that.
Return of the King.
Did it really sweep all that?
Dude, Return of the King is tied with Ben-Hur and Titanic as the most awarded.
Okay. So I sort of blocked that out. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
Return of the King's a bad movie. It's an okay movie.
But, I'm just saying it's not, you know, frickin' Ben-Hur.
It's not Ben-Hur.
Yeah. It's not Gone with the Wind.
No.
Which is, you know, what the Oscars are more, I mean, they're not saying that because they're, you know, there was less award or more awards now, so.
Yeah. So?
I don't get it, but I don't care. You know, at the same time, I enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. So do I. I love the Oscars. So. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to beat you in the poll next year.
I can't wait to try to beat you in the poll next year.
Well, maybe I'm not going to talk you through it this time.
Maybe. Okay. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of our Oscar segment. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back where we're going to be discussing the 2005 or whatever release of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Stay tuned.
Change was drastic. The storm was about to come. It hit me like a steel bath in public. The grandfather told the family, "We'll find out about the song those lovers sing. We'll find out when it comes down to their thing." Oh, the things sing, all the things sing. Oh, the things sing, all the things sing.
And we are back. This time around, I can't really call it Confessions of a Movie Snob, but we are going to be taking a look at the 2005 Shane Black release of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, starring Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer and other folks.
And Michelle Monaghan
and stuff like that. But we're not really approaching this in terms of whether or not it was a good movie and stuff. As we said earlier, Shane Black is more or less a shoo-in at this point to be directing Iron Man 3, taking over for Jon Favreau, who we've reported in the past has chosen to no longer direct the franchise. And first off, we just kind of want to see what we think about that. In a nutshell, did you like the movie or not, Ethan?
Well, I did. I thought it was good. It was a great sort of updated gumshoe type of movie. It wasn't necessarily film noir, but it was, I think, Sam Spade, a private detective, movie, you know, made in 2005 instead, you know, so, with Robert Downey Jr. is always a pleasure to watch anyway.
Sure.
And he was pretty much playing Tony Stark, to be honest.
In a lot of ways.
Except much more of a loser, I should say.
Yeah. I look at this movie, and that is kind of what I was wanting out of Hudson Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
More than what I got out of Hudson Hawk. Sure. And, you know, and I think that that can be exemplified, you know, in the scene where he walks in on the dude that's, who's looking at the chick, and, you know, he's all, you know, what are you doing? And he gives this really nice badass speech where, you know, you either walk out right now or, you know, we're gonna go and fight about this. And they cut to a scene of Robert Downey Jr. just out there getting his ass beat.
Yes.
And which is just, you know, that's when I talk about things that I call ego pieces. And, you know, that was just Bruce Willis would never do a movie like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it takes somebody with less of an ego like Robert Downey Jr. And, you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And, yeah, I rather enjoyed this. I thought it was fun seeing Val Kilmer again. He's gone away for a while, and, you know, I saw him in that.
Yeah, it was nice to see Val Kilmer in a movie that didn't suck, or wasn't direct-to-video.
Yeah, Alexander, it sucked. that movie sucked.
I'm sure all three different cuts of that movie have sucked.
Yeah, it was not a good movie, and it's too bad. It could have been.
But, it's a movie about you know, this a thief that is masquerading as an actor that sort of falls into this murder mystery that's going on in Los Angeles.
Weird-ass convoluted plot.
Yeah, this weird-ass, almost a Guy Ritchie type of plot, really.
Not quite as cool as Guy Ritchie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I mean, Guy Ritchie's, you know, very, you know, badow, these guys are badasses.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr.
Was
fucking,
not a badass.
He was
a
fucktard.
He was a putz. Yes.
He really was.
But, you know, he was still a charming character.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, Downey Jr. can play. And looking at this movie more as sort of from the direction and whatnot, I don't know if Shane Black will probably have some influence on the writing of the movie, because
sure.
He obviously with this one he wrote the story.
Well, I mean Shane Black,
this movie was based on a novel.
Shane Black is first and foremost a writer. I mean, this is the only film he has directed so far.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And you know, he wrote stuff like at one point he was the highest paid screenwriter in Hollywood. He wrote Last Action Hero.
Oh yeah.
And he sold that for an unprecedented sum, and then he wrote something after that I'm not recalling off the top of my head.
He wrote Lethal Weapon.
There you go. He wrote Lethal Weapon.
And The Last Boy Scout.
And The Last Boy Scout.
And Monster Squad. And,
yeah, I mean, he wrote all kinds of stuff.
Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so.
He left the scene for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, well, I mean, I've read something saying that it was basically he was disgusted with the direction that Hollywood's going in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back with what I think is a very nice little movie, and I'm kind of sad that it took something like this for me to find it. That's the kind of movie I would have liked to have seen, regardless of the fact that the dude's going to direct Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah, and to say quite frankly, I think he'll do a fine job with Iron Man.
I do too, because I think- he. Thing that, you know, never needs to happen in Iron Man movies, you know, they're very, you know, technologically sound movies, but you don't want to lose the humanity of the characters. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did a very good job.
It was very good at keeping that with all of the characters. Good snappy dialogue and very natural feeling characters. And I think that's what Iron Man needs. And this guy feels like a good progression on that. So,
I do, too. It
seems like a good choice. I hope that that is...
It strikes me as something that might have been... I don't know. I don't know if I want to call it spearheaded, but definitely, you know, approved of by Robert Downey Jr. Because you can tell when somebody's having a good time in a movie, and he obviously had a very good time making that movie. So I too think he's going to do a good job. I just don't want to see. I don't want to, and it's going to happen. So I might as well just keep my mouth shut about it. But I just don't want to see people bashing the movie because it's not Favreau.
Yeah,
it's got to fucking happen, regardless of what I want.
Yeah, I would bet that if they do sign him, you know, if and when I would say at this point, they sign him, that Favreau will probably come out and say, hey, that's a good choice, and
yeah. Whether he agrees with that or not, it's a smart business move.
It is a smart business move, but I would honestly, looking at Favreau's other work and looking at this movie,
they took a hell of a chance with Favreau on Iron Man and Iron Man 2.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying though, flavor wise and sort of the feel of this movie as opposed to Favreau's movies, is they feel very
similar.
So I mean, I could see.
I almost
Favreau
see
really just being fine with it, you know, and it seems like a good fit.
I almost see Shane Black as, you know, like, you know, his previous work as opposed to Favreau's previous work, because it's maybe a little bit more intelligent even. I mean, and I'm not knocking Favreau. I think he did a great job, and I've liked lots of his movies, but I like the idea where this is coming from.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, he might direct a very, you know, he might direct the hell out of a horrible script, for all we know.
Yeah.
And I really, and you bring up a good point. I hope he is involved in the script. I mean, as much as one can be in a gigantic franchise like that.
It seems like that's not an uncommon thing. I mean, they brought in Joss Whedon on the Avengers.
And he's worked on the script.
And he went over the script quite a bit, apparently.
And a lot of ways, I definitely, he used to be a more powerful person than Whedon, and Whedon's got some juice, but not a ton.
I think the thing with Whedon is just his fan base. I mean, he's got the Whedon verse, and people love him, you know. But with Shane Black, I think he's not a name people are going to recognize.
But as soon as they look at his filmography, they're going to recognize him.
Yeah, but
everybody knows Die Hard.
But not everyone's like us and look at the filmography, is what I'm saying.
They'll
tell you, it's like, well, he was a screenwriter for Lethal Weapon. He's a screenwriter for Last Action Hero, screenwriter for this, and people are going to go, what? The dude who wrote Lethal Weapon is going to be doing Iron Man?
Makes sense to me.
And they'll say, well, and he wrote and directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Like, what the hell's that?
The hell's that movie? And I think it'll help this movie, if anything.
I'm sure it has. I'm sure it will.
Yeah, and it's we watched it for this reason, and it's a good movie. It's not a movie hasn't been in my Netflix queue for a while, but it's not one that I was like, I want to watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, because I really didn't know what it was about. So
yeah, me neither, and I don't know that I've ever even run into it before. I mean, I know I'd heard of it, especially the title.
I've heard of it, yeah.
I just didn't know anything about it.
I really had no idea what the movie's about until I saw it, and it's
it was
good.
A delight.
It was a delight. I really enjoyed it. I'd love to get a copy of it at some point. I really think Shane Black is going to be, if and when they sign him, you know, I mean, obviously we haven't gotten word that he is the dude.
It almost seems like it's over and done with at this point.
But it seems to me like, he has experience, obviously, writing good action. I mean, just based on his filmography, he has experience directing and having human characters and having a sort of a good snappy dialogue. Because, I mean, say what you will, like The Last Boy Scout is a funny ass movie because of the dialogue, and it's great. You know,
I don't have anything negative to say about The Last Boy Scout. I liked it a lot.
It is what it is, and but you know what I mean, though. It's dialogue wise, it's just well written.
Yeah,
and I think Shane Black will bring that good snappiness that you need for Tony Stark and for
he didn't just direct the Beaver movie. I mean, this is this makes sense. I mean, this absolutely makes sense with the direction they would want to go with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's going to be cool, and I'm really looking forward to it. I just really hope it does happen.
And I would really hope that, I really hope personally Jon Favreau does come back as Hogan at the very least.
That would be so neat.
I don't see why it wouldn't at this point, because it doesn't seem like the split between him and Marvel is a bad one.
No.
I mean, it seems very, listen, guys, you're going in a direction I'm not interested in going, and I just want to, I want to step away, and you know.
And you know, if he doesn't come back as Happy Hogan, it's not necessarily the sign of a bad split. I mean, he's a fucking busy. He's directing a movie with James Bond and Han Solo, for Christ's sakes. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's going to do the Magic Kingdom.
He's going to do the Magic Kingdom, which is going to be a huge movie. Yeah. I mean, if that's done right, that's going to be a badass movie.
Yeah. And I don't know anything really about Shane Black's personal history. You know, it's like, is he a comic book fan? Does he know Iron Man? I don't know any of that. As far as I know, it hasn't really been reported. So
yeah, I mean,
he could be a guy that, you know, knows jack all about comics,
or he could be the Sam Raimi of frickin' Iron Man.
Yeah,
I mean, Sam Raimi was the hugest Spider-Man fan growing up.
But judging just by this movie, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, I think he could get the feel down really easily.
He
seems like a good choice for an Iron Man movie.
I agree. And in that, I don't care if he has never read an Iron Man book before.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, he's probably seen at least the first movie.
Yeah, statistically.
And the second one. Mm-hmm. And if he hasn't, he probably will. And I think he will do fine. And I think he will be signed. And I think he's going to do a good job. And I'm looking forward
to
it.
But I don't see this as being a, this huge change as in, you know, the whole, Bryan Singer, Brett Ratner bit.
No.
I think this is going to be,
it's going to be a fit.
I think this will be a good fit. Yeah. And the movie's great. I enjoyed the hell out of the movie. The movie's fun.
Oh, I loved that movie. I mean, I totally buy
I like
that.
How they broke the fourth wall all the time, not doing it in a really stupid way.
Like the Deadpool way.
Yeah, in the Deadpool way. But they did it very smart, and they did it
he was going over his screenplay. You know, that was the monologue throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
And and the only time that the actors on screen directly talk at you at the cameras at the very, very end.
Which was cool. I liked it.
Where, you know, Val Kilmer comes on, get your feet off my fucking desk.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like, and to all you people in the Midwest, I'm sorry we said fuck a lot.
Yeah.
That was that was funny stuff.
That was funny.
If you're wondering who the best boy was, he's somebody's nephew.
Right. It was, I enjoyed it. I'm excited for if he does do Iron Man 3. I do know that, what's her nuts? Gwyneth Paltrow said that she's not sure if she's returning for Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I mean, obviously I'm not a Hollywood lawyer or anything like that, but I just kind of wonder if when a director leaves a project, if that frees somebody up from a contract. Because it seems to happen. A director like with Spider-Man, Sam Raimi left and everybody was fucking gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like they all got fired. I mean, Sam Raimi left and then I don't know if it was the exact same day, but it was like the next day. There was literally everyone was out, and it's just kind of cool. And it's kind of nice that Robert Downey Jr. staying on. And
yeah,
I like that because that means he likes the character. And I'm sure they sat down with him, and I'm sure Favreau sat down with him, and he said, "I'm not going to return," but he gave him his blessing to go forward.
Yeah, yeah. It's like just because I'm leaving doesn't mean you need to.
And, right.
Yeah. Plus, I think as far as a career move for Downey Jr., I think Iron Man was a brilliant thing to do, and it's a brilliant thing to continue doing. It seems like he really loves the character.
He does, and it was also a big risk getting him because I know the studio did not want him, and Favreau kicked and screamed and got him. And I don't remember off the top of my head, but I've talked about like the numbers and stuff that I've heard of. Like the kind of money he made, and it was like just exponentially more in the second one because he had all of his his problems with drugs and going to jail and shit like that before, and he was a big insurance risk, and I guess making the first one, it was pretty much to the point where the first one was such a success, like not putting him in there would be as big of a risk as putting him in there, so they allowed him in. I think he's an executive. Yeah, he might just be a producer on it, but he is part of the creative process of. Certainly Iron Man 2, because I know
and certainly Iron Man 3 at this point.
Well, I absolutely. But I know it was Robert Downey Jr. that brought in Mickey Rourke, because I know that he personally asked him at the Golden Globes, if I remember correctly, to do Iron Man 2. So, yeah, it's cool. I'm looking forward to it. I dug the hell out of the first two Iron Man movies.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, obviously, this wasn't a secret that we like the Iron Man movies, or even Robert Downey Jr. I mean, he's a fantastic actor.
Still loved him in Chaplin.
He's great in Chaplin.
Yeah.
So really, to be honest, it's just a
good move.
Good move. Yeah. Totally love it. I think that's all we got to say. Really. I think, Shane Black is a good fit, and everyone should not bitch and kvetch about it.
And I guess you got it. The Red Foam Zone does endorse, Shane Black as director of Iron Man 3. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our outro section. With the outro section, this has been issue number 44, close of season 2, 44 issues in. Happened a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I did not bring it up on the air, but we actually crossed over our year mark. I know that, like, when we recorded issue 0, it was a certain date that's actually been passed. And if I remember right, it would be this coming Friday that would be Ethan's 1 year mark with the show. So we have been doing the show for a little bit over a year. And we are at the end of season 2, so when you'll be hearing us again,
I believe the first time I came on the casting couch on Final Fantasy VII, probably one of our best confessions on Watchmen, I think, was that night.
Was that? Yeah. Yeah, that was that night.
Confessions on Watchmen.
Big Confessions on Watchmen, we did a, it was Confessions on Watchmen, it was the Final Fantasy VII casting couch. God, I cannot remember the other thing. I don't know. Long ass time ago. It was 43 episodes ago. So, yeah, we have that happening. We are going to be back next season. We are not taking 2 months off in between seasons like this time or last time around.
Yeah.
But it is going to be 2 weeks, so that makes today the 2nd of March. That means we'll be back March 16th.
Oh, well, gosh.
If I'm right about the date, I'm right. Yeah, March 16th.
Well, if we're taking 2 weeks off.
No, I guess it would be the 21st. Or 23rd, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll be on the 23rd.
We're doing our best to come back then, and we'll see what happens with the show. I think we're going to do a bit of a format change.
We are doing a format change. I'm not really ready to discuss it right now,
sure,
because we don't really know. I'm not being all secretive and shit. But we're not 100% sure about what we're going to do, but we are going to do a bit of a format change. Hopefully the show is going to sound better by then, too, because we're going to be in a less cavernous area. I have recently changed microphones. We've actually gotten through our Skype problems as well. We had John on last week, and he sounded very good. So hopefully we're, you know, past all that stuff. We're going to be able to actually just focus on the format of the show and what we're talking about, who we're talking to, and, mm-hmm, and give you some good stuff come season number 3.
Well, that sounds good.
But I guess in the meantime, if you're, you know, really needing your geekdom stroked, go over to bankandboard.com. That's where John comes from, becoming our very frequent guest on the Red Phone Zone. That's his show. It's the show that got me podcasting. They always do, seems like they're always doing their show on Sunday nights on Ustream. You can check them out, bagandboard@ustream.com, I think it is, /and/board/ustream.tv or whatever it is.
Sure.
Just go to Ustream and type in Bagged and Board, and you'll find them. Go to Gamers Haven Podcast. You can listen to them. Check out the backlog of Red Phone Zone episodes. All of them are on the redphonezone.com, and I think it's, what do we got, 20? Is there 20 of them on iTunes? I don't know.
It's going to be the last 20 episodes.
It's
going to be the most current plus the last. I think it's up to 20.
Yeah, the most current up to 20. Yeah. So, there's plenty of those to listen to. But if you want to hear more, go to redphonezone.com. Did I talk about Nirvana last week?
Seems like it. Did, yes.
Yeah. I am going to be starting up a podcast network at this point. We are going to have the Red Phone Zone on there. Gamers Haven Podcast, Bagged and Boarded. We're going to be starting a new show with our guest host from the New Year's episode, Tracy. He's starting up a new show that we're going to be calling Something Wicked, which is going to be a focus on literature. So that's going to be fun. Looking for a couple more shows, so if you would like to check that out, or if you want to discuss with me your idea for a new show, maybe about getting you onto the Nerdvana banner, email me. It's contact@nerdvananetwork.com. It's NERDVANANETWORK.com. I don't have anything else unless you do, Ethan.
No, not just the general stuff, you know, as far as Gamers Haven news. We are currently organizing CantCon.
Mm-hmm.
Go to CantCon.com, KANTCON.com. We're doing our pre-registration. If you sign up or pledge money through there or through our Kickstarter, you get a lot of really cool stuff, like a beer mug and some special dice that will only be available that way. So,
cool.
Through that. So, yeah, that's about it. Last I checked, we were about 76% funded,
awesome,
with another just under 2 months to go on the Kickstarter. So, other than that, that's really what I've been up to, other than that, life and school. So,
yeah, I'm right there with you. Life sucks. School's fun, but it sucks at the same time. Okay, well, I guess that brings us back to the end of the show. So, yep. Until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
Let your geek flag fly. Is all the same. Loneliness is my natural habitat. That's where I rest. No, I can't stay here where you will never understand. Loneliness is where I